My name is Roy Malloy, and you're listening to The Dawn of Crime, a podcast dedicated to the people, the crimes, and biographies of the criminals who made Australia what it is in a strange, dubious, backhanded kind of way. Today's episode is going to be looking at an interesting fashion of crime, but it's something that hasn't really been... It was left behind historically, and for good reason. It was a crime called offensive behaviour, and it was usually reserved for anybody that didn't go with the status quo of how society used to feel things should be. I guess it was designed for people who were offending someone else by swearing at them, or a non-violent kind of crime. And look, that is, we have similar charges that can be used now, but offensive behaviour was often misused for anybody that was acting in a way that was also challenging to the way people viewed gender at the time. So a man who dressed as a woman in public, anybody that was offended by that could claim that it was offensive behaviour, and that required a mandatory court hearing. So all you needed to do literally was walk down the street dressed in the clothing of the opposite gender, and you stood a very good chance of ending up in front of a judge with a hefty fine or prison. So this first case is one of three that I'm going to talk about real quickly. This is a case from 1915 in Sydney. And parts of Sydney weren't what they are today, historically. In particular, the Rocks. Now, we now think of the Rocks as this beautiful area with, you know, picturesque, beautiful, restored, little quaint, sandstone, colonial-style huts. And it's a massive tourist attraction. But that kind of, we get that area like that after the Sydney Harbour Bridge lands almost at the beginning of the Rocks, and people start really looking at that area as a place to be. But prior to that, there was a whole bunch of little alleyways and nooks where you wouldn't walk after dark. And there was a lot of poverty that kind of came with that. So in 1915, there was an appeal done, and a whole group of different churches and community groups, they came together and they made a fundraising event that was going to culminate with a street party at one end of it, but also they had an event in amongst it that was called the Queen of the Alleys. It was a very big event. I mean, it was a really big deal, the Queen of the Alleys. Different girls from these slum areas could compete to be the most beautiful girl from the slum areas, which is kind of a second level of horrific in a number of ways, but lo and behold, you have a beauty pageant in amongst the alleyways and laneways of the Rocks area. So I guess to be the winner of that, you'd be the queen of the alleyways, and you represent your particular part of the Rocks. But on Friday the 26th of November, an 18-year-old man named Patrick John O'Flaherty Fingal Harford, it's a hell of a name, he was arrested in Pitt Street, and he was carrying a sign that read, Queen of the Alleys. So this guy's on parade, and he was wearing face makeup that gave him, like, he'd put so much rouge and over-the-top kind of, it makes you think of satire, you know, he's not trying to necessarily say, I am a woman, but he's dressing in a way that's completely clownish and it's over the top, but he's wearing a lady's frock, shoes, stockings, hat and a wig, and he was parading with this paper sign that said Queen of the Alleys. Now, what he was trying to achieve, it's hard to tell, but he was also incredibly well known as a soapbox speaker. We don't have soapbox speakers or even the venues for soapbox speaking these days, but it used to be a real thing in two different areas in Sydney and one in Melbourne, where people would stand around for ages listening to different people talk about their views on politics, the church, government, even sometimes reading poetry and things. But this guy was a really well-known speaker, even at the age of 18, in his views against the government. These are clothes that were typical for a woman at the time, not for a man. So then he was arrested for literally just walking down the street. I guess, look, maybe he was yelling as well, but he was down the street and he was carrying this sign, the Queen of the Alleys, and he was dressed as a woman and he was arrested. He was chucked in the holding cells with other criminals dressed as a woman, where I guess he was, you have to imagine, he was at least humiliated, if not harmed physically from that experience. And then he was brought in front of the judge, still wearing the clothes, made to wear the hat and the wig. It was just a way of shaming and humiliating further. There's no saying that this fella was gay. It just is that he had dared to dress like a woman, so he was going to be made. He was going to be paraded and humiliated as a woman, which is pretty horrific. So he was fined £2 for offensive behaviour and made to pay another £10 as a bond to ensure that he wouldn't repeat the act. And I believe with a bond you typically get it back, but there's none of the newspaper articles said that he would get that bond back. So he was let go, and that became the end of that case. Just a £2 fine, which is a lot of money. I mean, that's half a week's wage, if not a week's wage of a poor person. This is a guy who everybody at the time was pointing at and saying he was evil from, a lot of intense purposes. They would have said he was sinning against God. And this is also a guy who then went away to fight in World War I and came back an incredibly highly decorated soldier, that everybody then was saying, oh, this guy, what an amazing guy. This is the same guy that they humiliated, And so you get a lot of these cases that come about where literally their only crime is, in his case, protesting. But then you do get people who legitimately identify as a gender that isn't the same gender that they were born to, or physically gendered. And so a few days prior to Christmas in 1923, a Melbourne court sat and heard the case from the day prior. So I think it was the 20th of December. One of the first cases of the day was a young man named Leonard Keith. He was marched into court wearing a black dress, stockings, necklace, and the remnants of makeup again. So he wasn't allowed to even wash his face, this guy, and he'd been in the holding cells for 24 hours. The police had arrested him on a charge of indecent behaviour on the 29th of November. I apologise, it wasn't the 20th of December, it was 29th of November. He was seen walking along Collins Street by plainclothes policeman McCann, and he was taken to the Russell Street Watch House. When he was presented in court, he was, which was, standard procedure, he was made to appear in all the clothes that he'd been arrested in, including, yet again, the hat, the wig, and he stood in the docks, just as a pure emblem of shame and, degradation. Leonard said that he was heading to a carnival and he was dressed as a woman to be a part of this kind of, this celebration when he was caught. Now, this isn't the only time we see this. There's been a couple of cases I've come across in my research where people are identified and caught by police for wearing gender clothes that typify the opposite gender to their birth gender. And one of the only excuses that the judges or the police at the time seem to have been willing to accept is, I'm on my way to a party. And look, in saying that, even if they weren't, the thing that says is, it's okay, I'm okay to mock people who dress in gender atypical attire. And the police will say, okay, if you're mocking them, you can go ahead and do it. If you're going to a party to satirise and mock people who dress in a way that's not typical of gender at the time. I'm not sure if I'm making sense by saying that, but it really isn't. It also is offensive to me as the charge of offensive behaviour. But then I guess, then you get the guy who is actually at the party, or believes he was. So it was the first weeks of March in 1922, and a group of friends were strolling along the seaside promenades in St Kilda. Now, they're a beautiful part of the world, and it's, with television, we kind of stopped doing a lot of these things, but prior to television, it was a really heavily foot-trafficked area where people would stroll up and down, looking out the sunset, that kind of thing. And it was twilight. It was difficult to make out what they were looking at first, but as this group of friends got closer, they saw a figure of a man, and he was kind of part jogging along the pavement towards them, but he was wearing nothing but what's called a crinoline. Now, a crinoline is that massive wire frame that goes underneath a woman's dress. You think Gone with the Wind, and that huge kind of round bell-shaped dress, that wire or strapped kind of cage that women wore, that's a crinoline, and he was wearing it, the wire structure. But the group of pedestrians, this group of friends, saw this guy coming towards them, and instead of just letting him pass or saying, are you okay, because this guy's not wearing much else apart from the crinoline. So I got to be honest, if I saw a guy walking down the street with nothing but a wire skirt on, I think I'd be a little bit alarmed, but one of my first reactions would be, mate, are you okay? Because you don't look like you're doing okay right now. It's not behaviour that's typical. Now, I'm not saying it's behaviour that's going to kill anybody, but, you know, he didn't look, the rushing part, you know, he's running along the part, running along the pavement, jogging. Instead, these guys, they said to him, where are your clothes? And he didn't seem all that coherent. And he said, down the street. So instead of helping him, they yelled out, get him! And they chased him. He ran, as you would, and he ran into a small hall off Milford Street in St Kilda. The police got him at that stage, and they said, where are your clothes? And he said, in here, I've been at a party. And they said, where's the party? And he said, in here. So he goes into this hall, and the guy at the door says, nah, I don't know. That's enough for the cop. Takes him away, chucks him in the can. They don't dress him. They let him stay in the can, in the holding cell, and he's fined £3 in court. These fines and these charges of indecent, well, we call it indecent behaviour now, but back then it was called offensive behaviour, was enough to get anybody in front of a judge, and judges very rarely did anything more than use the moment to humiliate and make sure that people didn't try this in future. These three stories are three of a huge array of stories that I've included in my most recent book, which has been released this week. It's called The Queerest of Crimes, and it's the third in the Dawn of Crime series. I'd love you guys to check out The Queerest of Crimes. All you got to do is Google The Queerest of Crimes by Roy Malloy. Otherwise, head over to Facebook and check out my author page, which is Roy Malloy Author on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and I really hope you got something from this. And do make sure you share the episode, and look forward to reading you more.